The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to the people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to switch places with you, Cora, and if you sit right there, you children, come around. So every Sunday, when we come to church and we're part of the worship service here, one of the first things that happens in our worship after the song and the greeting is that we listen to readings from the Bible. And we usually have three readings from the Bible. We have an Old Testament one from the Hebrew Scriptures, and we sing a psalm, or we read a psalm, and then we have one from the letters of Paul or from the New Testament, and then we have a gospel. Usually I talk about the gospel, but today I want to just read one line from one of Paul's letter. Well, actually, would you read this with me? Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So one of the things that this means, and you heard Ellen talk about a time and talent sheet, and thank you for bringing this up, Cora. This time and talent is for the adults in the congregation, and Cora wants to be involved in it too, so she took it and said that she is a child, but I have a special one just for you that says gifts and times and talents for children. Come and see, come and listen, come and learn to receive the gifts of God, then joyfully give to God a portion of what God has given you. One thing that God has given you and everyone in this church, God has given us, as it says in Paul's letter, a variety of gifts that we share for the common good. So when you get back to your place or you get up to Sunday school, fill this. You can write your name and your age and what grade you are in school. And then you can make a check mark by the things that you can be involved in, how you can share your gifts. So we just heard Penny and Ian, they shared their gift. God has given them a talent of good singing. Sing in the children's choir. So that's what Penny and Ian just did. They sang.
I do it a lot. It's just that I was not able to.
You were a little tired, so you couldn't quite do it this morning. But, you know, that's a good reason for all of us to wake up Sunday morning and get ready for church. So your time and talent, you can fill these out and you can hand them in when your parents and your family hands in theirs at the end of the service. So you can go back to your place or go off to Sunday school now.
Reading from Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
So let us pray Psalm 36 responsively. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great sea. Be saved and kind and animals, O Lord.
How priceless is your love, O God. All people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your wells.
For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light.
Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another the various kinds of tongues, and to the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you or to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Some people think this is the best water into wine. This is the most awesome of all the wonderful works that Jesus performed. You know, a scientist looks at that molecule of water and he knows the impossibility of a molecule of one thing turning into a molecule of something else. But at Cana in Galilee, that was exactly what happened. Water into wine. And not just any wine, but the most exquisite, finest wine, top shelf wine that anyone had ever tasted. And such an abundance of it. 6 stone water jars, 30 gallons each. Most people at that wedding didn't know where that fine, exquisite wine had come from. In fact, only the servants were really aware of where this new wine had come from. There was no thunderclap. There was no voice from heaven. No crowd standing around in jaw-dropping amazement. But this sign of Jesus isn't about science. The miracles, the signs of Jesus are pointing for us to see the divinity of Christ, to see the power of God at work in his Son. And sometimes we miss that point. St. Augustine once commented that what Jesus did at Cana was really no more than a speeded up version of what God does on 1,000 hillsides as vines silently turn into grapes and wine. Millions of people enjoyed that wine every year without a moment recognizing the miracle in that. I enjoy listening to TED Talks. And yesterday I heard one by A.J. Jacobs. Anybody happen to hear that TED Talk yesterday? Jacobs is an author, and he was talking about his most recent book called Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. He's an agnostic, maybe an atheist, but an agnostic, and he had decided that before dinner, a lot of people say grace, but he just wanted to thank the people who had participated in the food that was on his table. So he had started this tradition, and he would say, thank you. I want to thank the person that grew this tomato, and I want to thank the person, the cashier that checked me out at the grocery store, and I want to thank the manufacturer of the knife that cut these tomatoes. And his child said, and when are we going to be able to put these tomatoes in our mouth? That they were thinking. And then the 10-year-old son said, you know, Dad, it really isn't much use. You're thanking all those people, but they're not here. They're not in our apartment. They can't hear you talking. You should go and thank them. And so he decided that he would do just that, that he would thank everyone. And he chose one thing that he couldn't live without, his morning cup of coffee, and that he would personally thank each person that had anything to do with that coffee in his cup that morning, every morning. Well, Jacob's gratitude journey took him around the globe and took him many months to thank everyone that was involved, personally embracing what he calls radical interconnectedness. The miracle of a single cup of coffee that involved over 1,000 people. He said, it doesn't take a village, it takes a world to bring a cup of coffee to a person But isn't it true that most of us don't even imagine the wonder of the miracle that all of those people together bring to our cup of coffee? In this miracle of Cana, God reveals himself as the God with an abundant overflow of grace and gifts that knows no bounds. But this story also reveals to us that God does not demand a certain behavior or a certain statement of faith before God pours out blessings and grace. God is always the first to act, and we are invited to share in that and enjoy that grace, that goodness, that abundance of creation. Even if we, like the guests at the wedding banquet, don't know how it happened that we are being served this very fine wine, that we are being blessed with abundance and amazing grace, God still keeps on blessing and gracing us. Even as we look at the great and the small miracles in our lives, we too often fail to acknowledge the source of those miracles. But God just keeps on blessing and pouring out abundance on us anyway. That abundance is the main theme in this story. But there's another part of the story that's very, that is the ordinary, that's used to bring the extraordinary. Ordinary stone jars. Ordinary obedient servants doing what they were told. Ordinary water. It's just about as simple as you can get. This sign at Cana is a sign of God's abundance poured out for us, a sign that God can use and does use ordinary material to bring extraordinary results. Could this be about God blessing us with abundance? That God using ordinary you and ordinary me for God's extraordinary purposes, for God's exquisite purposes. 6 stone water jars, 20 or 30 gallons in each. 6 jars filled to the brim. 30 gallons of wine would have probably been enough to keep the party going. But Jesus provided 180 gallons. 180 gallons of mighty fine wine, the best wine that anyone had ever tasted. And enough of it to last for the remaining days of the wedding celebration. The guests may not have known how this had happened, that they were being served the exquisite wine freely and abundantly. Have you ever been to a wine tasting and you're tasting the very best wine that you've ever tasted and they give you like a thimbleful? That was not what was happening at this event. Jesus, 180 gallons of wine, you could have more than a drop. They would have known that something important was happening. Mary Oliver died last Thursday at her home in Florida. Mary Oliver, a wonderful poet and author, she wrote such thoughtful poetry. About 10 years ago, she wrote this poem called When Death Comes. When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like a measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular, and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride, married to amazement. I was a bridegroom, taking the world in my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. How about you? Are you an observant guest at this celebration that we call life? Or are you simply a visitor? Do you know that something important is happening in your life? If you pay attention, if we pay attention, we know that the real human thirst, like our deepest hunger, is for the life that God offers. This living closely with the Holy One who loves us. Paying attention. We are so spiritually hungry and thirsty that often we fill our life with material stuff in a futile attempt to satisfy those needs. Some people even have distorted our gospel message to say that actually God wants us to have a lot of stuff. That prosperity gospel is not the true gospel. That is a different kind of abundance than the kind that Jesus shares. A very different kind of turning ordinary into extraordinary. That prosperity gospel invariably leaves us sitting hungry in the midst of excess and longing for the abundance of God, longing and thirsting for God's grace. Maybe physical drunkenness that is the result of too much wine can be a metaphor for how the ways that we dull our physical and spiritual perceptions. There are so many wines in our world that have the power to hinder us on our spiritual path and put us in a stupor of self-absorbed isolation. No wonder we miss the revelation of God in our world. We are drunk with the abundance of stuff. We are drunk with this abundance of self. I don't mean to imply that living more simply, one lives closer to God. But the truth is that our complicated and cluttered lives often get in the way of our recognizing the miracles and the signs of Jesus present in our world. What hidden abundance, like the water in those big stone jars, is just waiting to be transformed into the wine of celebration and joy in your life? What water in your life is waiting to be transformed into the most exquisite wine to be shared with the world? When your life and your relationships, your job, your church involvement feels like all work, take a break. Think about Cana. In obedience to Jesus, the dutiful action of the servants that was responsible for the celebration to continue, for the ordinary wine ordinary water to become extraordinary wine. The word of Jesus changes everything. And that can happen to us. That can happen to us when we open ourselves to the presence of Jesus. God's power can transform even the most mundane into the most excellent, the ordinary into the extraordinary, the we don't have enough into the we have an abundance. What unseen power lies within ordinary you? St. Paul says, each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's God's promise in this first of the signs that Jesus does to be turned from the ordinary into the extraordinary. That people who are fresh out of hope can share in the abundance of God's promise in Jesus Christ. He turned water into wine, scarcity into abundance, despair into hope, hatred into love, violence into healing. And he invites us to share in all that. Jesus invites us through the waters of baptism, through the bread and wine of this holy meal, through the promise of God's holy word. Jesus invites us to see God revealed in the many miracles that take place all around us, all the time. Thanks be to God for the abundance of grace and mercy that is poured out for us, even when we don't notice. Even when we don't pay attention, God's mercy and grace is being poured out upon us in abundance. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.